It is so amazing to be back here, and welcome to the London Opera Guild. I'm so excited to be able to say this after so many months with COVID. I think we need to applaud that. I remember halfway through COVID thinking I'm never going to get to do this again. It's a very sweet moment for me. And I'm so glad that so many of you could join us today, because there's nothing better for me or anyone else to listen to live opera in a place full of other opera lovers. So this is awesome. Without further ado, I'm going to welcome Ernie, our president of the London Opera Guild, to introduce the program. Ernie?
Thank you, Alice. I've taken my mask off so that you can all hear what I'm saying and can understand. If you can't understand me, raise your hand or fall over or something. I've reached the stage that Shakespeare described as walking with three legs. And so don't mind that. I also would like to welcome all of you. I'm thrilled to see so many of you out. It's a privilege to have a live concert of fine singers, and I know that you're going to really, really enjoy this concert because I've been listening to the warm-up. I would also like to give a special welcome to Professor Michael Kim. Where are you? Way at the back, who is the new Dean of the Faculty of Music. And he's here to see what students in his faculty have and can accomplish. I want to mention donations. I always do in these concerts. You know, you realize that paying $20 for something is sort of standard and expected and so on. But if that's how you started, then maybe after you've heard the singers, you can have what Tolkien describes as second breakfast, and put another $20 in. All of this money goes to the scholarship fund. The more we can raise, the longer we can continue to give out these scholarships. It's interesting that over the many years that we've been giving out scholarships, usually five per year, we have now reached the stage where you will be seeing scholarship winners 113 to 117. Well, actually, 116, because Christopher Beatley McBride couldn't be with us today, and so you'll be listening to four singers. But believe me, that'll be a feast for the ears. Now, just to remind you what the London Opera Guild does, basically we do two things. We provide five scholarships a year to outstanding voice students from the Faculty of Music. And we encourage people to go to opera, to go to the Canadian Opera Company, and we provide an opera bus, but only if there are enough people for the bus. Joan Mortimer, who has taken over this again, tells me that a rental of a small bus seating 27 people is $1,100 return. So that means that if you're paying $55 for a return ticket to Toronto, we need 21 people. So if you can get in touch with Joan as soon as possible by email or by phoning her, if you intend to go to the February 6th production of Madama Butterfly at the Canadian Opera Company in Toronto, please do so as quickly as possible so we can decide whether or not we can actually afford a bus, because the bus will have to pay for itself. Perhaps we can do with maybe 15 or 16 the first bus, but after that we need to fill the bus, or at least have 21 people. I want to thank the members of the board of the London Opera Guild, particularly for taking over so many of the things that I used to do here as a member of this church in preparing for this concert. I'd like to especially thank Chad and Susan, and indeed all of the members of the board, for just pitching in and really, really helping. Now, the four singers we'll be hearing today are Angela Juricianin, Cassie Kutoryevsky, Alexandra Morgan, and Matthew Bermudez. And again, I'm ever so pleased that the collaborative pianist and the director of this, and basically the MC of the entire program, is Sarah Bowker, who is one of the most outstanding collaborative pianists I know. And I've observed her for many years at the Faculty of Music. So at this point, we will be giving out the scholarships, after which we will continue with the concert. So would you please join me in welcoming the performers for today's concert? Now it is my great pleasure to give a check for $500 to each of these outstanding singers. And believe me, I call them that because I've heard them. So, Matthew Bermudez, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yurik Chiamini.
I hope we got that close.
That was great.
Cassie Kutoryevsky. And Alexandra Morgan. Sarah, it's your concert.
Thank you, Ernie. I'd just like to begin by saying how thrilled we all are to be here today. It's always wonderful to perform as a musician, but even more so now, after the last year and a half when we've been unable to perform for live audiences. So I would like to express our extreme gratitude to the Opera Guild, not only for their continuing support of students at Western Opera, but also for providing this opportunity. And I would also like to express our gratitude to all of you for being here and being our audience today. It's wonderful to be back in front of an audience. I'll be saying a few words about the songs everyone's singing today. Hopefully it provides a little context so that we all know a little something about what these strange songs in strange languages are all about. We begin with some Handel. Handel's opera Alcina was written and first performed in 1735, 8 days after he finished writing it. It originally included some ballet, as did most operas of the time, but the imported French ballerina Marie Salé shocked audiences not only by performing in a simple muslin gown, but also in her natural hair. Like many of Handel's works at the time, it had its brief season at Covent Garden, and then fell into obscurity, and it was not revived for performance until 1928. Fortunately, it has enjoyed more popularity in the second half of the 20th century, and it actually provided the debut opportunity for a young Joan Sutherland in 1960. This year, it is being performed as the Fall Opera at Western University. It will be on November 18th, 19th, 20th, and 21st. Unfortunately, due to COVID restrictions, the public is not admitted at this time, but the live stream should be available on the Western website. Here we have two performances by some of the stars of that show. In Tornami a Vagheggiar, Morgana, one of the two sorceresses in the opera, sings of her certainty that the individual she has fallen in love with, Ricciardo, will return to her after visiting her sister Alcina, another sorceress who enslaves every man who visits their island. However, what Morgana doesn't know is that Ricciardo is not Ricciardo, or even a man. She is Bradamante in disguise, searching for her lover Ruggiero, who has been enslaved by Alcina. Ruggiero sings the aria, Di te mi rido, when he's mocking all who would have him turn away from Alcina, saying that he laughs at anyone that doesn't follow Cupid as he does by loving a beautiful face.
Thank you.
Massenet's 1892 opera, Werther, was based on Goethe's novel, The Sorrows of Young Werther, written in 1774. It was a sensation, catapulting Goethe from a previously unknown author into a hugely popular literary celebrity. The plot centers around the unrequited love that the title character has for Charlotte, who is married to Albert. In the end of the novel and the opera, Werther finds his situation untenable and shoots himself, dying in Charlotte's loving arms. The novel was such a sensation that young men around Europe were dressing in the fashion described in Werther and often killing themselves as well, with pistols matching the descriptions in the book, with the novel beside them. We thought Tide Pods were bad. In fact, it led to both the fashions and the novel being banned for a time. In the one cheerful scene in this opera, Sophie, Charlotte's younger sister, comes in from having picked flowers outside. Unaware of the tensions swirling around the love triangle involving her sister, her brother-in-law, and the visitor, Werther, she tries to cheer everybody up by telling them of the beauty of nature and the love of God. With all this around them, how can anybody be sad? The beautiful and well-known aria, Porgi Amor, from Mozart's Le Nozze di Figaro, hardly needs introduction. In the second act opener, the Countess is lamenting the fact that her husband is looking at younger women and wondering where her youth has gone. She begs the God of Love to either restore her love to her or let her die. Bizet's opera, Les Pêcheurs de Perles, was written and premiered in 1863 in response to a grant offered by the French Minister of Fine Arts to the manager of the Théâtre Lyrique to promote recent winners of the Prix de Rome. Grants and scholarships are awesome. Thank you. The 25-year-old Bizet was relatively unknown at this point. From the time of the commission in April, he had about 5 months to write the opera before the projected premiere date in mid-September. The libretto was not stellar. The characters are relatively one-dimensional, and the plot is described as banal and imitative. One of the librettists later admitted that had he been aware of Bizet's quality as a composer, he would have tried harder. Still, the beauty and drama of Bizet's music elevates the work and ensures its survival into this century. In this aria, the fisherman Nadir has just met again his former love, the priestess Layla, and is remembering her voice and the feelings it engendered in him. The music uses a barcarolle, or boat song, rhythm throughout, which is perfect for a character who spends his life on or by the sea.
Je crois entendre encore.
is a prolific and successful young Canadian composer from the London area. This song is the third from a set published in 2016. This text is the last four stanzas of the poem Refuge by the Canadian 19th century poet Archibald Lampman. Known as the Canadian Keats, Lampman was born near here in Morpeth, Ontario. He eventually settled in Ottawa and is buried in Beechwood Cemetery, about which he once wrote a poem that is now inscribed on the archway above the cemetery entrance. Lampman's poetic voice drew on the Canadian landscape for inspiration. Much of his work emphasizes the calm of country life to counteract the restlessness of city life. Sergei Rachmaninoff was one of the most influential composers of the early 20th century. He was educated at the Moscow Conservatory in piano, theory, and composition, and he had early success with his compositions. Due to the First World War and the Bolshevik Revolution, he and his family left Russia and wound up settling in New York in 1918. Despite the fact that a third of his life was spent in the United States, he remains firmly a Russian composer. His music consistently contains sweeping lyricism and passionate melodies. He also frequently includes widely spaced bell-like chords, perhaps reminiscent of Russian churches. Both of these poems are full of rash romanticism. In I Wait for Thee, Under Cover of Darkness, the poet impatiently awaits his love, full of anguish and impatience. The more peaceful Lilacs was written as part of a set of 12 songs written 3 weeks before Rachmaninoff's wedding. He wrote that he had to finish the songs so that he could afford the honeymoon. Gaetano Donizetti was one of the most prolific opera composers of the 19th century, writing 66 operas over the course of his life. He enjoyed considerable fame and success during his life, occupying positions throughout his native Italy, as well as Vienna and Paris. The opera Don Pasquale, written for the Théâtre Italien in Paris in 1842, was so well received in January of 1843 that the newspaper critic wrote that no opera composed expressly for the Théâtre Italien has had a more clamorous success. 4 or 5 numbers repeated, callings out of the singers, callings out of the maestro. In sum, one of those ovations which in Paris are reserved for the truly great. In this aria, the spirited and independent female lead, Norina, is reading what she considers to be a very silly romance novel, reciting passages from it and then mocking them.
Oh,
Sticking with Donizetti, we move to one of his best-known and most performed operas, L'Elisir d'Amore. This opera is being performed at Western Opera January 28th to February 6th. Mark your calendars. At this point, we don't know yet what the visitor policy will be, so we'll keep our fingers crossed that you'll be able to attend in person. The main character, Nemorino, is in love with Adina, but she does not return his affections, so he buys a bottle of magic elixir that is supposed to make her fall in love with him if he drinks it. In reality, it is a bottle of cheap wine. This aria is near the beginning of the opera, when Nemorino is admiring Adina's beauty from afar. This next aria is from Tchaikovsky's opera, The Enchantress, first performed in St. Petersburg in 1887. It is based on a play by the same name by Ippolit Shpaginsky. It has not been performed a great deal, but has had a few performances within the last decade in Europe. It's probably Tchaikovsky's longest opera, and this may have led to its lack of commercial success, despite the beautiful music. In this aria, the main character, Nastasia, called Kuma, is waiting to meet the man she loves, who is the father of the man who loves her, and the boss of the man who is trying to destroy her.
Thank you.
This most famous aria is from the 1929 operetta Das Land des Lächelns, or The Land of Smiles, by Franz Lehár. Lehár often worked closely with the famous tenor Richard Tauber and usually included at least one show-stopping aria in all of his works for Tauber, which became known as Tauberlied. Dein ist mein ganzes Herz is probably the most famous of all the Tauberlied and is frequently done in concert outside of the operetta. The text describes the character singing to his heart's delight. He longs to be wherever she is, and hopes that his dreams may come true, and she might whisper, "I love you."
Dein ist mein ganzes Herz, wo du nicht bist, kann ich nicht sein.
Same for all of you. Do you have an uncle? Do you have an uncle? No. No. Come on, uncle. Well, we'll just have to come back next year again. And thank you all for coming out, and thank you for supporting our efforts to give scholarships to these students and other students in coming years. I hope to see all of you soon again. And remember that If you intend to go on the opera bus, please get in touch with Joan Mortimer. I wish you all the best.